From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Graz.
Early voting begins this week. How can voters know that their ballot is secure, and what can you expect on Election Day? We'll be joined by Nebraska's Secretary of State, Bob Evnen, to discuss these questions and what you need to know about the 2020 ballot on this week's Capitol Connection. As always, we are broadcasting from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, and we have a great show lined up today, so we want to dive right in. I'm pleased to be joined now by Nebraska Secretary of State, Bob Evnen. Secretary Evnen, thanks for being with us and welcome back to the show.
Nate, it's good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, believe it or not, we are now less than 40 days from the 2020 general election. And as Secretary of State, you are responsible for overseeing elections in Nebraska, an incredibly important job, and what also has to be an incredibly stressful one in 2020. But before we get into the 2020 elections and voting and what people can expect, what was it like for you as Secretary of State overseeing a statewide primary election this spring during the middle of a global pandemic?
It was very unusual, Nate. It's unlike anything that any of us has ever experienced before. And I am very pleased to say that the Elections Division of the Secretary of State's office did a terrific job preparing for an election in the midst of a pandemic. And so did our election officials all across the state, the election commissioners, and the county clerks all across the state of Nebraska really stepped up for this.
It was really encouraging and somewhat inspiring to see Nebraskans coming together, people doing their job to make sure that we had safe and secure elections and we're a better state and country for that. And looking ahead now to the 2020 general election, I think a lot of voters are nervous or unsure. Maybe they haven't put their ballot in the mail before. What can you tell us about mail-in voting, specifically mail-in voting in Nebraska, and how can people know that their ballot is secure?
Well, first of all, there are many opportunities to cast your ballot in our state. First of all, you can go to the polls. The polls will be open. The polls will be kept safe as they were in the primary. The situation with the pandemic is better in hand across the state. We understand it better. So you can always, if you like going to the polls, consider going to the polls again. Early voting, of course, is an option. It's been an option in our state. We have no excuse early voting. You don't have to have a reason. All you have to do is make a written request to your county election official. They will send you back a ballot that you can fill out at home and then return to the elections office in your county. And there are a number of ways that you can return it. You can return it by U.S. mail. You can return it to a lockbox. Every county in our state has a lockbox outside the county election office with it you can access 24/7. You can take your ballot there and drop it in personally yourself in that lockbox. Some counties have multiple locations for lockboxes. You can take it into your county election official directly. Just go into their office and hand them your early ballot. If you didn't request an early ballot but you want to vote before November 3rd, you can actually go into your county election office and vote there. You can go vote at your county clerk or election office, and that opportunity begins on October 5 and it ends on November 2nd. So that's another option. Let me talk about going through the Postal Service. There's a lot of discussion about, is the Postal Service going to be able to get these early ballots delivered? First of all, it's important for your listeners to know that in order for their ballot to be counted, it has to be received by the county election official by the close of the polls on November 3rd. Their ballots have to actually be received by the county election official by the close of polls on November 3rd. So it doesn't matter when it's postmarked. It doesn't matter what other reasons they have for delay. The ballots that will be counted are those that are actually received by the close of the polls on November 3rd. If they're received after that, they will not be counted. This is very important. There are a lot of places across the country, and many states across the country, that are in an uproar. You know, when is this election going to be decided? Because they allow ballots to trickle in or come in after Election Day. We do not allow that, and I will never support that. I will oppose any efforts to expand that. Election Day is the last date to get your ballot in. The Postal Service has told us that in order to assure that your ballot will be received by November 3rd, you need to put it in the mail by October 27. So this is the U.S. Postal Service advising us that in order for voters to get their ballots received on time, if they're going to put them in the mail, they need to put them in the mail by October 27. Now, Nate, I'm not a guarantor of the performance of the Postal Service. If you're concerned about the Postal Service, then deliver it to a lockbox yourself. Take it into the county clerk's office and deliver it to them there. Go in and just vote in the county clerk's office, or go to the polls on Election Day. There are all these different options.
Well, this is really critical information, and I appreciate you walking us through that. And I think that is so important for people to know and hear that really you have options. You have multiple options, no excuse not to vote. And to get your ballot in the mail or either vote at the polls on Election Day. And you mentioned voting at the polls. From where we sit right now, do you anticipate that Election Day, for people who do go to the polls on November 3rd, that we'll see, you know, similar to like a regular Election Day? Or what do people need to know about what they can expect if they're voting at the polls on November 3rd?
Well, we'll be prepared. Protecting our voters and our poll workers, just as we did in the primary. So we'll be engaging in social distancing. We'll have cleaners available. We'll have hand sanitizers available. For people who come to the polls without masks, we'll offer them a mask if they wish. The polling booths themselves will be clean between voters. So we're going to take all of the precautionary steps that we took to protect poll workers and voters in the May primary. We'll be taking those steps again. I'm anticipating that we will have, as a percentage, a lower percentage of early voting for the general election than we had for the May primary, but it'll still be much higher than normal. Normally, about 25% of our voters vote early. In the May primary, it was more like 75 or 80% of our voters voted early. I think that our percentage in the general election will be somewhere between those two. But our polls will be open. We will have poll workers. I encourage your listeners to sign up as poll workers, give our older poll workers a break. And we're developing a whole new generation of poll workers through this experience, which is terrific. So we have an idea of what we're going to be looking at. And we'll have our polling places open, and they'll be working well.
And you touched on this as well, some concerns in other states about when election results will be certified and allowing votes to continue to trickle in after Election Day. When do you expect that election results in Nebraska will be certified?
Well, they're certified by the Board of Canvassers on a date down the road. But we'll have our preliminary results announced on November 3rd. You know, we won't have big delays. It will be a normal election in terms of the reporting of the results. And it certainly isn't going to be days or weeks later. It'll be election night.
And we're grateful for that. And I also want to transition to talk about some of the special issues that will be appearing on the ballot in Nebraska. Beyond just voting for candidates, voters will have the opportunity to vote on several different issues and constitutional amendments that will appear on the ballot for the general election. What are some of these special issues that we're going to see on the 2020 ballot?
Well, there are a number of them. There are two that were put on the ballot by initiative, that is, by petitions circulated and signed by Nebraska registered voters to put on the ballot. One is payday lending, which will cap interest rates on what payday lenders can charge. And another is gambling, the expansion of gaming in our state.
And specific to the casino gaming ballot initiative, which actually appears on the ballot as three separate initiatives, measures 429, 430, and 431. Secretary Evnen, do you have concerns with any of these initiatives, and what do voters need to understand about what they are being asked to authorize?
Well, let me begin with the legal framework that the Secretary of State operates under. There's a statutory framework that requires that the Secretary of State consider the legal sufficiency of initiatives. That's the phrase that's used in the statute, legal sufficiency. And the Nebraska Supreme Court has issued decisions about what that means. But the Secretary of State is required to consider the legal sufficiency of initiatives that are brought to the Elections Division to be put on the ballot. And so in compliance with that requirement, I issued a decision about the three gambling initiatives in which I said that I thought they ought not to go on the ballot and that I intended not to put them on the ballot. But of course, we knew that that would be appealed and the Supreme Court would ultimately be the decision maker here. The Supreme Court didn't agree with me. And the Supreme Court, in a 4-3 decision, decided that the three gambling initiatives would be placed on the ballot. And so they will be appearing on the ballot for the general election.
And so what these initiatives propose to do is to authorize all forms of games of chance at licensed racetracks. And I know there's been a lot of discussion about this and other consequences of amending Nebraska's constitution to legalize all games of chance at licensed racetracks. And as I understand it, if this goes through, this would also simultaneously authorize expanded tribal gaming, and tribes would be able to operate their own casinos across Nebraska as well. Do you think that that is an issue here?
Well, it's one of the two overarching reasons why I thought that the three gambling initiatives ought to be kept off the ballot. The constitutional amendment says that all forms of gaming would be permitted at, as you say, racetracks, horse racetracks that were licensed. And so it didn't say all forms of gaming are permitted and then the legislature can issue regulations for this. It said all forms of gaming are permitted, but only at licensed racetracks. I found that to be misleading because the apparent limitation of racetracks wasn't correct under law. There is a federal law that says that whenever a state expands gaming, that Native American tribes on tribal lands have to be given the opportunity to essentially open casinos. So while it says that it's limited to racetracks, as a matter of law, it's not. And I found that to be misleading. And one of the standards that was that the Supreme Court had given us at the time was, if a proposition is misleading or confusing, that's grounds to keep it off the ballot. I found it misleading and confusing and kept it off for that reason. The Supreme Court disagreed with me I won't take you too deeply into the weeds on that. There was another reason why I kept them off the ballot, and that is that the third of these initiatives included a property tax sweetener, that 70% of the tax money generated by these casinos would go into the property tax relief fund. Well, 6 years ago, the Nebraska Supreme Court said, that's a different topic. You can only have one topic per initiative. That's a different topic than expanding gaming, and so we're not going to allow it on. Well, the gaming proponents then split it off into a separate initiative, which is completely intertwined with expansion of gaming. Doesn't mean anything unless there's expansion of gaming. And I said, no, the fact that you split it off into another initiative doesn't make it any less log rolling, which was prohibited in the earlier case, than it would be if it was in the same initiative. And again, the court disagreed in a split decision.
Well, I appreciate you walking us through that and providing that overview. This is so important for voters to understand, because when you look at your ballot, you know, voters, they're not going to see the word casino or the word gambling anywhere on their ballot. But there's a lot at stake here with that question. And we do have great resources on this issue at our website where you can read more about the gambling ballot initiatives, how they're worded, and what they would do. So please be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org to get that information. And Secretary Evans, I'd love to turn now just to ask you, what would your message be to those who maybe aren't yet registered to vote or don't plan on participating in the election process because they just don't think that their vote matters?
Oh, your vote matters. Every vote counts. We've had a number of elections in our state, particularly legislative races, that have been decided by less than 50 votes. We've had elections in Lancaster County that have been decided by 13 votes. So the idea that your vote doesn't count, that's not right. Your vote does count. And if you are not registered to vote, you're eligible to register. If you're eligible to register if you will be 18 by November 3rd. So if you're 18 or older by November 3rd of this year, you can register to vote now and vote in that in the general election. The last day to register online or by mail is October 16. You can register online or by mail, but the deadline for that is October 16. If you want to go into your local county election office, you can go in by October 23rd. So the absolute deadline for registering to vote in the general election this year is October 23rd.
Well, Secretary Evnen, you know, just as I'm sitting here having this conversation with you, I'm just reminded of just the importance and the weight of the office of the Secretary of State. Elections are the foundation of our constitutional republic, and there's so much political turmoil in our country right now. What led you to want to run for this office and serve the state of Nebraska through the Secretary of State's office?
Well, Nate, there are a number of reasons, a number of things about this office that where I thought that I could make a contribution. One is you're right that conducting fair and secure elections is absolutely bedrock if you're going to have a democratic republic such as what we have. And so it's a crucial function. There are other functions as well that I thought were important to fulfill. The Secretary of State has many functions. Another one that really caught my interest is the promotion of international commerce. This is something where you can use the status of the Secretary of State's office to promote international trade on behalf of Nebraskans, particularly ag processors, ag growers, farmers and ranchers. And the idea that I could use the status of this office to help promote the top line of Nebraska's economy was tremendously appealing to me.
Well, we're grateful for your work on behalf of the state of Nebraska, and you've given us a lot of important information and dates on the program today. So my last question, how can people get registered to vote if they're not yet registered, find their polling place, and other key information about the 2020 election?
You can register to vote online or by mail. The deadline for that is October 16. You can go to your county election office and register in person. The last day for that is October 23rd. You can track the progress of your ballots. You can take a look for your polling places. One thing you can do is call your county election official. They'll tell you where your polling place is. Another thing that you can do is you can go online to the Secretary of State's website, look yourself up, enter some personal information and to confirm that it's you, and you can see where your polling places are. And if you've requested an early ballot, you can see the progress of your early ballot in terms of its processing.
Well, this is really important insight and information, and we're glad to be able to help share. So thank you once again, Secretary of State Bob Evnen, for coming on the program to talk to us today. And thank you for your service to the state of Nebraska.
Thank you, Nate. Glad to be with you.
Well, this is certainly the most important election of our lifetime. And to help equip you, your family, and church to think critically about how Christians can vote, pray, and engage politics in a Christ-honoring way, Nebraska Family Alliance has created a convenient one-stop shop for the 2020 election with fantastic tools and resources that you can access for free. Visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, and in one location, you can access NFA's personalized church-friendly voter guide that shows you where candidates for federal and state office stand on key issues. This is such an important tool. We don't tell you how to vote. We just show candidates in a side-by-side comparison where they're at on the issues like abortion and the right to life, religious freedom, school choice, judicial appointments, family values, and more. And the great thing, too, is that it's actually personalized to you. You can plug in your address and it'll show you exactly which races and which candidates will appear on your ballot. So you make sure that you check out the Nebraska Family Alliance voter guide. You can also find a sample ballot, how to find your polling place location, and key election information. We also have a lot of great information and factual research and resources on the Casino Gambling Ballot Initiative that we talked about earlier, including answers to common questions and how this proposed initiative would impact our state. And it's critical that people are sharing and talking about this because, again, what you see on the ballot with these initiatives, there's so much more to it than meets the eye. And there's some serious consequences if these ballot initiatives are approved and move forward. And we also have produced a 7-day, 21-day, and 40-day election prayer guide to help mobilize and unite citizens across our state in prayer. Lastly, you can find the Biblical Principles for Political Engagement booklet that NFA partnered with the Family Research Council to co-publish. It's an easy-to-read resource that provides answers to these really difficult questions about faith, politics, and voting, and it is just filled with wisdom found in Scripture. It's a fantastic resource and a great way to get easy answers to these questions that we're grappling with right now during this election season. So you can read, download, and share all of these resources for free. Send them to your friends, your family, and your church, and you can find them all at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We know that when you go to vote, you are not simply just voting for a candidate. This is why this is so important, because there is a worldview behind every single name on the ballot that will shape the policies that are and are not implemented and consequently alter the direction of our state and our nation. And we have clear choices this election. And we don't just have clear choices with the candidates and the issues that are on the ballot. We each have a choice in our own personal lives to choose between despair or hope, fear or joy, and between hating our enemies or loving and praying for our enemies. Politics cannot and should not be the center of our lives. It's not what it's intended to be. But we must have significant Christian influence on government, because without it, government has no clear moral compass. And when we look around our world today, it's clear that we need that moral compass as much as ever. Policies endorse and enforce a belief system. So the question we need to ask is, whose do we want it to be? To stay up to date on the latest news impacting family, freedom, and life, and to learn how you can partner with NFA to defend the unborn, religious liberty, and family values, visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. That's all the time we have for this week. Special thanks again to our guest, Secretary of State Bob Evnen. I'm your host, Nate Groz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.